Rest assured, the sermon is not very long today, so I didn't mind taking some extra time to do all that now. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, that Lord, I know that you've already touched us today. You've already blessed us. And we know your presence is always here. It's just a matter of, just like the song said, how aware we are. How aware we are of your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless us and honor us with your presence as we continue here. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this word going out. I pray, Father God, that these be a right word in due season. I pray you teach us how to apply this word, what we are going to talk about today. And I just thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I suppose when all said and done, this is why we come to church. Yeah, thank you. This is why we come. This week is throwing a lot of curveballs. And I know that if this week has thrown me a lot of curveballs, I know it's probably done the same for all of you. A lot of things have kind of, you know, and I mean, there have been blessings interspersed in there, at least for me. And God, you know, I was asking God, you know, well, what's this all about, you know, and it was really just, and what I felt like he was telling me, speaking to my heart, was that it's about maintaining that thankfulness no matter what, you know. And for me, a lot of it was just, I like everything to be structured. I'm not wired that way. I'm by nature, I'm kind of a disorganized person, you know. But I learned the value of being organized. And so when I organize things in my own way, I mean, Tammy would probably argue that I'm not really very organized compared to her, but the way that I had things organized got things, I mean, the whole week, just everything was thrown completely out of balance. And I'm like, but it's that constancy that, as one of the Bible teachers at Rhema put it, that sameness, the ability to remain the same, to stay the same, no matter, regardless, whatever circumstance, you know. And so it's that sameness, you know, getting through this week, you know, and with a attitude of thanksgiving, being thankful to God. I heard a certain pastor tell a story of a time when he and his wife had driven through the night. They had been ministering, they had been doing a series of meetings, and so but it was at a different church from their church, and so they had been driving home through the night for a while, and so they'd get in around 2 a.m. or so, you know, get to sleep, you know, and so they're kind of operating, you know, in a different, you know, differently than you normally would, where you go to bed at a regular, you know, like a certain hour, and then you get up at a certain hour. That whole thing had kind of shifted to a different time. And so anyway, they'd been driving and getting home at 2 a.m. around and going to sleep, and they had been sleeping on one particular day when a knock at their door at 8 a.m. woke them up. You know, so they hadn't been sleeping for the entire night, you know, their night. Of course, it's morning, but to them, it's night. And so, you know, the pastor gets up and he lumbers to the door. He's exhausted. His hair's all disheveled, you know. And there's a woman and her sister at the door. And actually, a woman who this pastor had ministered to in the past. In fact, God had healed the woman of a tumor the size of a grapefruit a little over a year before. And anyhow, they said, "Pastor, we're awful sorry for coming at this, or, you know, coming at this time." And they said, "But it's really the only time we could come." And they were like, "We just wondered if we could just talk to you for a bit." And so, you know, tired as he is, he says, "Okay, well, just a moment. Just let me and my wife get some clothes on." And you know, so they went and hurried, got their clothes on, and they came back, opened the door, and invited them in to the living room to sit down and talk. And so it had turned out that the woman had developed another tumor. And the doctors, it's the same doctors that she had with the previous one, and they told her, they said this new tumor was not related to the one that she had had before. So it's not related. That's the previous one that God had healed her of. Now, the minister, or the pastor, he assumed then, he said, "Well, okay, she's probably come to ask for prayer for healing." You know, and so he spent some time talking to them along that line, and he said, "Well, you know, God healed you before. You know, God can certainly heal you again." And then the woman said, to be honest, she said, I don't really care one way or the other whether I do get healed. And of course that kind of surprised him, you know, but she said, I've made such a mess of my life. She said, I've been divorced so many times and I made many mistakes raising my kids, and she said, I really just want to get to the place where I was with God. She said, and then as far as I'm concerned, God can call me home. I could just die and God could call me home. And so then he thought, well, because she's talking about wanting to get back to where she was with God, he thought, well, maybe she's committed some terrible sin. She feels really guilty, you know. And so then he spent some time talking to her along that line. Then after a while, he said, well, let's all get down on our knees here in the living room. And he said, we'll pray. He said, now, you don't need to confess any sins to me. He said, but as we pray, you tell God, you just confess to God, and he'll be faithful to forgive you. Just like 1 John 1:9 says, he's faithful, you know. So the woman said, she said, well, Pastor, you know, as far as I know, she said, I haven't done a thing in the world wrong. I haven't done a thing in the world that's wrong. You know, and in the telling of the story, the way the pastor told it, he said, they got me up in the middle of the night. As far as I'm concerned, the way we've been operating, he said, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, still the middle of the night for me. He said, I guess I did get just a little aggravated. He said, it just sort of made me mad. And I said, well, just get up then, just get up. And he said, just sit back on the couch there, you know. He said, I'd wasted 45 minutes trying to help her, you know. And so once she's back on the couch, he asked her, he said, if you haven't done anything you know was wrong, what makes you think you're not where you used to be with God? Well, she said, I just don't feel like I used to. And he said very sternly, he said, that doesn't have a thing in the world to do with it. He said, me and my wife, we've been driving till two in the morning last night. He said, here I am in the middle of the night for me. He said, I told her, if I was going by feelings, I'd have you praying for me. And he told her, he said, many times when I get up to preach, he said, if I was going by feelings, I'd have to say to the congregation, I want you all to pray with me. I feel backslidden. You know, I don't feel right. Well, after he said that, He said, she looked at me in amazement. And she said, you mean preachers are that way too? And he says, well, sometimes people think that preachers are kind of super, you know. He said, but no, we're just as human as everybody else. But she said, you mean preachers are that way too? She said, well, what do you do then? He said, just sit right there and watch me and I'll show you what I do. He said, I'm going to close my eyes to worship for just a minute. He said, this is what I do when times are hard and I feel nothing. And with her and her sister and his wife watching, he began to talk to God. He said, thank you, God. I'm so glad you're my Father. I've been born again. I'm a child of God. I've been born of God. You're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I have eternal life. I'm born again. I've got the life of God in me. He said, I'm so glad, Lord, that Jesus said, if you believe on me, my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. He said, that means that you'll come make your home with me. He said, God the Father and God the Son are living in me and making their abode in me, and I'm so glad of it. And I want to thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the Holy Spirit. The greater one lives in me. He said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are dwelling in me, living in me, abiding in me. And he said, now as I was saying those things, giving thanks to God, he said, I didn't feel any better. He said, but see, at a certain point, just like Jesus is talking, Jesus said, you believe on me, then me and the Father will come and make our abode in you. So he said, as he starts giving thanks to God like that, as he kept going on, he said, at first, I felt dead, I felt dry and listless. But as he continued to give thanks to God, God touched his heart and he began to laugh with joy. And the woman said, your face just lit up. Now see, she interrupted him. His face lit up. He laughed for God, before God, I guess you could say. And she said, your face just lit up. And he opened his eyes. And now, I ask you, though, think about this. Do you remember in the Word where it says that Jesus rejoiced in spirit? You remember that? When God touched the pastor's heart and he laughed with joy, the woman said his face lit up. See, thanksgiving led to praise, and praise led to joy. Once when I was leading worship for a church, a visitor made the comment. He said, that little redheaded guy up there, he said, that little redheaded guy, while he was singing, he said, his face was shining. See, I didn't even know. See, if God did it for me, he did it for the pastor. Rest assured, he'll do it for you too. Now, back to the story. The lady told the pastor, your face just lit up. And the pastor replied, yes, the presence of God was there the whole time. I just acknowledged him. Then she asked, can I do that? He said, yeah, you can do that. So she closed her eyes. She began to give thanks to God the same way. And eventually he said just about the same spot where she, where God touched me, he touched her. And she lifted her face lit up. She started laughing and she was happy. Now the pastor said, I don't remember. He said, I don't remember that we ever prayed for a healing, but he said the tumor disappeared. He said, because after that, she's managing a hotel there in Dallas and all was well. True story. So God is willing to do great things for us if we'll tenaciously seek after him. Tenaciously seek after him and dare to trust him. But the point of the story is the value of giving thanks to God. You know, I had been saying, you know, I asked God in the beginning of the week, what should we talk about? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? The Holy Spirit didn't say anything. But about Wednesday, all of a sudden he said, you know it's Thanksgiving, right? I looked at the calendar and said, well, you're right, it is Thanksgiving. So we talk about Thanksgiving. And actually, we should really talk about Thanksgiving more often than just once a year. Thanksgiving isn't just the title of a holiday. Thanksgiving is me doing something to show I'm thankful. And, you know, just like when we're in the middle of worship, you know, you get to a part where, you know, you're worshiping God and it's great to feel his presence. But there comes a point where you step out of the boat and now it's uncomfortable. Because things may be getting loud, and things might be being spoken out or sung out that you're like, well, I don't know if I have the guts to believe for that. You know, I've been there. I don't know if I have the guts to believe for that. So now you're out of the boat. You know, and so it can get uncomfortable. Now, go ahead and let's turn to the Bible to Luke, chapter 17. By the way, I'm not expecting this particular message to be all that pretty. If you know what I mean by that. But that's okay. I'm not worried about it. Okay, let's look at Luke 17. Let's look at verse 11. Very interesting. You're only going to find this story in one of the Gospels, right here, in Luke. In verse 11 it says, now it happened, as he, that's Jesus, it happened as Jesus, or as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, have you ever noticed it's a certain village or a certain person? God sets things up. He orchestrates things. So then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. Now, I used this joke last time we talked about this story, and I'll use it again. It doesn't say leopards. It says lepers. 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now, a leper is a person who has leprosy. That's a terrible sickness that people still die of today. And it sort of just kind of... It breaks down your immune system and you kind of, you know, it's like you kind of just kind of waste away, kind of your flesh kind of just gets to where it's necrotized and, yes, son, what do you need? Yeah, you kind of fall apart, yeah. We don't want people to fall apart. And, you know, nowadays, you know, the doctor will give you medicine to make you feel better. In a lot of cases, it works. But even with our medicine today, there's no cure for leprosy. We can treat it, but we can't cure it. Now, leprosy was so bad then, because there was nothing they could do about it, that people who had it weren't allowed to come close to people who didn't have it. You know, they quarantined them. So that's why it says they stood afar off. Now, look at verse 13. It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, in the law, God gave to his people, a person who had sickness like this, they're supposed to wait outside the camp for a while. And then after a while, they'd come back into the camp and show themselves to the priest. That's why Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And the priest would examine them, make sure that they're cleansed, you know, because God would heal his people, even in the Old Testament. That was part of the covenant. And so look at verse 14 again. So it says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So now usually, you know, Jesus healed people more directly, you know, but this time he just tells them, go show yourselves to the priests. And if they hadn't done that, would they have been healed? No. So I believe then that they were healed because they were obedient and did what Jesus said, even though they couldn't see any signs of getting better right then. On the outside, you know, just looking, they wouldn't see anything because it says they were, as they went, they were cleansed. That means right when he said, go show yourselves to the priests, if they had looked, so okay, I'm still falling apart in places. I still got leprosy, you know. But he said, go show yourselves to the priests. So they went. So they're obedient. Now look at verse 15. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So one of these guys, after seeing he's healed, he did three things. One, he came back. Two, he gave God glory. Now what that means, to give God glory, if you really dig into that word, it means he took time to point out that God did this, and then thank God, and then praise God all at the same time. That's really what giving God glory means. Okay. And then, so that's the second thing he did. He gave God glory. The third thing he did is he fell at Jesus' feet to give him thanks. So this guy is pretty thankful. Not only did he thank God, he also thanked Jesus. Really, because Jesus gave him his life back. I mean, the man had leprosy. He couldn't work. He couldn't go out. He had to stay away from public places where there was lots of people that he could possibly infect. And you know, he's reduced to begging. Can't work. He can't go to be with his family. If his family are not lepers, he can't be with his family. So really, Jesus gave him his whole life back. Now he's able to work again. He's able to be reunited with his family. Now look at verse 17. It says, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Jesus makes a point of asking where the other 9 are. Now look at verse 19. He says, and he said to him, Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And so we see Jesus gives the man some encouragement. Now, did the others lose their healing because they didn't come back to give thanks? Well, the Bible doesn't say they did, so we have to assume that they're still healed. God's merciful. That would be like, can you imagine a parent giving their child a toy, and they're playing with it, and they say, you like that? Well, I'm sorry, but you didn't say thank you, so I'm going to have that back. No, God is kind. Amen. There's a lot of things we can learn from this story, but what's the main lesson? The main lesson that I see in this story is that God expects his people to give thanks. And it's not because he wants us to stroke his ego. Giving thanks is helpful to us. And so think about this. I'm asking you kids a question. And I'm sorry, this is not a typical kid message, and I don't have candy today, but that's okay. We've got lots of stuff out there. But think about this. Have you noticed that if you thank someone for doing something for you, that they're usually willing to do more for you? Now, verse 17 in the first chapter of James, the book of James, in the first chapter, in verse 17, it says these words. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, that's God, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That just means that God doesn't change. If he was good yesterday, he's still good today. But it says every good gift. God may use people to give you his gifts, and then he blesses them as they bless you. But actually, every good and perfect gift ultimately comes from God. Why? Because if there's any good thing around, it's only there because God spoke it into existence in the first place. And I think it's funny, you know, I try to make sure I every now and then mention, you know, because we deal with people out in the world who support theories that deny God, and so we have to be armed with some things. Paul Davies, one of the most renowned theoretical physicists in the world, he's a theoretical physicist. That means he's extremely intelligent, extremely smart. He said the appearance of design is overwhelming, talking about the universe. That means then that scientists are beginning to see that without God, the universe could not exist. Now even man-made things, and I'm gonna get back to this a little bit, even man-made things that come from factories, plastics and things like that, they're made from material that was on the planet that God built. In the book of Genesis, we learn that after God made everything, he saw that it was good. It wasn't until Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sin entered the world that the good things God had made entered a fallen state. But even in a fallen state, you can see the beauty of God's creation. There's still provision for us to survive and continue to tell of what Jesus has done. Now, that's why the title of today's message is Simply Give Thanks to God. Simply Give Thanks to God. And, you know, if it's simple, then that means that today's message won't take too long. Again, like I said, you know, that way we can get in the room and start feasting on some of those things God has made. Looking forward to that. But anyway, giving thanks to God is simple. And it's part of our relationship with Him. I want to turn over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I'm just about 15 minutes over, but we're just about done. So, not doing bad. Stay with me, son. Don't give up on me yet. All right, Psalm 100. Okay, I'm like, this doesn't look the same as it did last night because I was using a different Bible last night. Okay, there we go. Now, Psalm 100. I want to just present a few things here for us to consider as to why we should make giving thanks to God something we look forward to. And I'm not doubting that all of us here as believers already do that, but just want to reaffirm that belief, water that belief. So Psalm 100 here says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Done that today? I'll do it again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I'm reading this out of the Amplified. Let me go back, switch over to the New King James. I'm just a little out of sorts today. I had half calf today. Maybe I should have had full calf. All right. Verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. I thought about that, you know. The theory of evolution, you know, doesn't that really just come down to, well, we made ourselves, right? Doesn't that just kind of come down to that? They, you know, and it's funny because, you know, there's an answer to that even in God knows. God knows what people are going to start saying. Anyway, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now, think about this. Think about something, because it says enter his gates with thanksgiving. I want you to think about when someone is invited over to another person's house. Now, as the invited person walks through the door, walks through the threshold, usually, not always, but usually they'll say something like, thanks for having me over, or thanks for inviting me. And it's right and good to do that. It says here in verse 4, enter into God's gates with what? Thanksgiving. So there's that idea that as I enter God's house, because he's invited me. There's that extension of thanks. Right? Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need." So did you know then that you're not only invited into God's house, you have a standing invitation to come into God's presence anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. And it didn't say to come groveling or trembling or begging. It said to come boldly. Now consider this. Anytime you go to God in prayer, you're not going into a physical building, but he still has gates and courts. Some place where he greets you and then says, come into my courts. Come before my throne. Come up onto my throne. The word said you should enter those gates with thanksgiving. So there's that aspect of relationship that God establishes when he says, when you come into my gates, enter with thanksgiving. That implies to me then that he's at the gate waiting. And you know, I had, back in California, I had one of the guys at church. I really respected him a lot. You know, he was what I would consider an elder in the church, even though he didn't carry the title. How many know that God gives titles and positions, and he didn't necessarily name them off, you know? But anyhow, he had said one time, he said, you know, he told us all, and he'd been a believer for many years, spent much time in God's presence, but he told us all, he said, you know, today as I left God's presence, he said, as I spent time with him, and then I went to get ready to go about my day, he said, it was the first time that I got the sense that God would miss me. Interesting, isn't it? And how true. How true. Now, just a few chapters from Psalm 100 here, the word tells us to forget not all God's benefits. And then it says he forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Looking forward to that this morning. And then he says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, did you know then, giving God thanks reminds you of what he's done for you in the past? If you're taking notes, you might want to write that one down. Giving thanks will remind you of what God has done for you. And it will also point to what he will do for you. Because what he's done for you in the past, he will do for you again if you believe in him and trust him. Now, notice verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So you're thinking about it, like think of God's gates and his courts. You know, you're coming closer, coming deeper into his presence. It's a progression. So now notice in the story with the pastor that he started with thanksgiving, but as he continued, he got over into praise, telling God how great he is. Did you notice that? There is a natural overlap between thanksgiving and praise. And, you know, I'll go ahead and tell you then that praise leads into joy. And I'm, the way I like to say it is because there's a breakthrough that takes place, I guess you could say, where you just, there's thanksgiving breaks into praise, praise breaks into joy. Turn with me over to Isaiah 61. We're just about winding down here. Isaiah 61. Now, you may remember that Isaiah 61 is a prophecy. It's Jesus speaking before he's born. I mean, you know he existed before he was born. Over in Revelation, it's said about him that his goings forth were from of old. Now, look at verse 1. We're going to look through verses 1 through 3. So this, of course, is Jesus speaking. It's Isaiah is writing it down, but Jesus is him speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who were bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, we're living in the acceptable year of the Lord, right? The acceptable time, the age of grace. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now see, God loves, this is good news. God loves to bring good news. God loves to bring good news. Now notice in the middle of verse 3, he says, the garment of praise, because we said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I love that. I love that that implies that praise can be put on like you'd put on a garment. Now that probably just speaks to me as somebody who loves to worship God, to lead worship, but praise can be put on. Doesn't matter how I feel. I can choose to give thanks to God. I can choose to praise him, tell of how great he is. And it said praise will cancel out a spirit of heaviness. Praise will cancel out depression. And then praise leads to joy. Remember in the story, God touched the pastor's heart. He gave a laugh of joy. The book of Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength leads to victory in a difficult place. See, God planned all this out in advance. He makes all these things work together to bless us and to help us out. And at the same time, all these things, thanksgiving, praise, the joy of the Lord, resting in his strength, all these things help us build our relationship with him as well. You know, and if only more of the church stayed right along with God in these things, if we could get more of his people to trust in him, lean on him, rely on him, thank him, we'd see the beginning of a revival. You know, we said before, people need to have a personal revival before they can have a public revival. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you have set all these things in place for us to operate in, for us to cooperate with. Thanksgiving, praise, joy, worship. All these things can be cooperated with and operated in, not only to give you glory, but also to help us. Very helpful to us. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I ask that you help us. Help us to apply. Help us to seek you. Help us to have an earnest desire to seek you and praise you. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I suppose I should have blessed the food. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we ask that you bless the food that we're about to receive, Lord. I ask that you bless it, cause it to nourish our bodies, and help us to have this great time of fellowship. Bless our time together, Lord, and continue with us, Father, as we break bread and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, now, you're all dismissed. Does anyone need any prayer, more prayer before we shift into the... You'd like to join us today, Martin?